They realized this is the risen Lord. He said over and over again. Now, what is our hope based on? It's based on the test. One of the many reasons our hope of the resurrection, one thing is based on the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said exactly how it was going to happen. He was, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that what? Takes away the sin of the world. When did Jesus die as a Passover lamb? Right on what? Passover. The scribes, they didn't want to do it on the Passover unless there was an uproar. But Jesus, being in control of the situation, he made it happen right on time. Right on time. When Jesus died on the cross, it was darkness from 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon. Total darkness. And that's when he became sin for us who knew no sin. That he might become the righteousness of, that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, why did Jesus have to die for mankind? Why did he have to do that? God is a holy God. And not only is he holy, he demands holiness from us. You ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Name me one. Thou shalt not. Okay, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You can go on and on. Now, has anybody here kept the Ten Commandments perfectly? Anybody here? No. None of us are as good as who? As God. But he demands it. Because on judgment day, God's not going to judge you for how good you've been in all your righteous acts. If I was to rob a bank and they arrested me and I go to the judge and say, Judge, you're right, I robbed the bank, but I pay my taxes, I don't speed, I'm good to my wife. The judge is going to say, I don't care how good you are to your wife, you robbed this bank. And because you robbed this bank, we found you guilty and you're going to jail. So how does my good works help me not to go to jail because I robbed the bank? Absolutely not. And so what are you going to say if you die in this world without Jesus Christ? If you die without him, what are you going to say to God on judgment day? What are you going to say for your sins? Well, God, I'm a pretty good person. And God says, well, you did this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And you say, yeah, I forgot about that and that and that and that. And I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah. And the list goes on. And we're all guilty before God. God is holy, righteous. He demands it. But guess what? He provides it. And that's why Jesus died for our sins. He provides righteousness for us. The righteousness that we cannot attain by ourselves. Now, the wrath of God. When Jesus prayed in the garden, what did he pray in the garden? He said, Lord, let this cup what? Pass from me. What is the cup? What does that mean? Let this cup pass from me. Well, the cup was the wrath of God. Now, is anybody here convinced Jesus of sin? Anybody here? Tell me a sin Jesus did. The scribes and Pharisees, Jesus looked at them one day, which of you convinces me of sin? And they couldn't do it because he was the Son of God. He lived a perfect life. And yet he was going to taste the wrath of God, that cup of the wrath of God for each of us. And what did he say? Not my will, but what? Thy will be done. And he willingly took our place, the wrath of God for us. Now, our hope is based on the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said he's going to do what he's going to do. And look at Romans chapter 8 here for a moment. Because of the resurrection, does it give us hope? Romans chapter 8. Do we have any hope? As God's people, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've broken God's commandments. But look at our hope we have in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now, what's that next word? No condemnation to those who are in what? Christ Jesus. Does that mean that all my sins in my past, my present, and my future, Jesus paid for? Absolutely. You can be free from the guilt and penalty of your sins before Almighty God because Jesus Christ is a substitute for us. He's a sin bearer. Now, does verse 8 give you hope? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Is that a hopeful statement? Do people have guilty consciences? They have guilty consciences. Why? Because they've done things wrong in their life. Why do people drink? They medicate themselves to forget their pain of the past and how people have treated them and how they've treated others. Why do they take drugs so they can escape the reality of the pain that's in the world around them? Why do people medicate themselves? Because they want to escape the pain and the heartache they carry. If a person comes to Jesus Christ, does he say he can set the captives free? Does he say that? He says he can set you free from the bondages of a guilty heart and mind. Does that give you hope? Do we have hope in the resurrection? Yes, because when we're in Christ, our risen Lord, there's no condemnation anymore. Now, how do you know you're in Christ? Well, what's the rest of the verse say? Who do not walk according to what? The flesh. When you're in Jesus Christ, you walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. What does that mean? Well, we have an old nature and a new nature. And those that are truly saved, that know God, they walk in such a way that honors God. The Holy Spirit is living through them. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in their life. They know God. Turn to 1 John here for a moment. 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Okay, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive who? Ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So, if you're going to walk in the flesh, you're going to deceive yourself and say, I'm not a sinner. I don't need a Savior. I'll take my chances. Well, if you want to say you want to take your chances, I just want to share a few thoughts with you. One, I believe in Jesus Christ. He died on a cross, buried, and rose again for me. I ask him to be my Savior. If you over here say, I don't want Jesus Christ, I'm going to live my own life my own way. Well, just make sure of this. Because if I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. But if you're wrong, you've lost what? Everything. Do you see the difference? If you say you're right, you better be totally right. Because if you're totally wrong, you've lost everything. I've lost nothing. Because Jesus is God. And I know through the confirmation of the Word, the Spirit, the testimony of others, that he rose from the dead, victorious over grave. My hope is based on. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. That's those who walk in the flesh. But if we confess our sins, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. What did the thief do on the cross? He said, when that one thief was hurling accusations at Christ, there's a thief over here looked at this thief with Jesus in the middle and said, hey, we got our just rewards. We're on this cross because we've done our evil deeds. But that man's done nothing. So this guy, he recognized he was a sinner. He recognized Jesus, the Son of God. And he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say to him? Today you shall be with what? In paradise. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Because that man was honest, and he knew that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, truth not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, took all my sins on him. And guess what? Not my sins only, but the sins of the whole what? Whole world. Are there any sinners here today? Where are your sins? Because Jesus looked at the scribes and Pharisees one day and said, you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe in me. That's pretty strong talk, isn't it? You're going to die in your sins if you don't. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're going to die in your sins and go to hell forever and ever. Now, do we have hope? We do. Our hope is based on the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm going to rise again from the dead. He did. Our testimony is based on the Holy Spirit. Look at John 16:13. What's our hope based on? In John 16:13, it says these words. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of truth, it cannot lie, has come, he will guide you into all what? Truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but he, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And the Holy Spirit bared witness that Jesus Christ was buried, rose again, victorious over the grave. He suffered on the cross, buried, and rose again. The Holy Spirit buried, because he's the Spirit of truth. We have the testimony of Jesus Christ, the testimony of the Holy Scripture, Holy Spirit, the testimony of Scripture. What makes this book different than any other book in the world? It has prophecy in it. Psalm 22, that's a messianic psalm. It talks about Jesus being nailed to the cross. That happened hundreds of years, that was written before it actually happened. Now, how can that be? God of eternity past is present and eternity present and eternity future. The same God is over all. He knows it's all going to happen. Isaiah 53 speaks about the suffering servant of Jesus Christ. Our hope is based on the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our hope is based on the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Our hope is based on the testimony of Scripture. Well, what do the apostles have to say about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. How about the testimony of the apostles? Acts chapter 2, verse 22, says these words. Acts 2:22. Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in his midst. Nobody did like he did. When he stood before Lazarus at the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth bound in his grave clothes. And Lazarus was alive. You don't think that wasn't God speaking? All those miracles that he did. The blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. Signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. He was a lamb of God slain, excuse me, before the foundation of the world. Determined purpose, for God had a plan that Jesus was coming to the world. But you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible he should be held by it. And again, he quotes David in the Psalms here. And Psalm 16, this messianic psalm. You will not leave my verse 27, not leave my soul in Hades or the grave. And you will not let your Holy One see corruption, that speaking of Christ, that his body should decay. You've made known to me the way of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. Messianic psalm. The apostles preached to that. Now, I have a question for you. The testimony, the hope we have in the testimony of the apostles. Would a man die for something he knows is a lie? Would he die for? Would you die for something you knew was a lie? No, you wouldn't do it. Chuck Colson tells when the Watergate thing, when Chuck Colson went to jail, 12 people knew about the break-in. And in 3 weeks, they all ratted on each other, okay, told on each other. And Chuck Colson said, these 12 men couldn't keep it quiet for 3 weeks. Do you think if this was a lie that the apostles for 40 years never one time said this is a hoax and a lie? No, it's not going to happen. You know why? Because it was true. We have the testimony of the apostles, our hope in the testimony of the apostles that gives us hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 36, Peter goes on to say in Acts 2, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. Wow, Peter really nailed it on them that day. And you know, when he said that, they knew what they had did. Now, why did Jesus die on the cross? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes on him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. He died for sinners. Any sinners here today? Do you realize you put Jesus on the cross? You ever thought about that? Your sin was the reason he went to the cross. When he said, let all the house of Israel know surely that God made this Jesus whom you crucified. And each of us had a part in that because we're sinful people, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do here? You ever thought about that? What are you going to do if you sin? You can't hide it, can you? Because does God know everything? How are you going to hide it from God? You can hide it. You can hide your taxes from the IRS, and maybe they won't catch you. Maybe they will. But you can't hide from God. Moses said, behold, your sin will find you out. It's appointed the man wants to die, and after this, what? The judgment. You know, the statistics on death are pretty impressive. One out of one people, what? Die. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? And one person says, if I knew where I was going to die, I just wouldn't go there. Anybody know where you're going to die at? Somebody else said, you better get out of bed in the morning. It's not a very safe place to be. More people die in bed than anywhere else. So you want to get started in the morning. Get out of bed. But guess what? One out of one people die, and you better be ready. If God was knocking on the door of your heart, what should you say? If he's knocking on the door, what should you say? Come in. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense? And they asked Peter and the rest of men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38 says, repent. Okay. What does that mean? Hey, just all God wants to hear from a sinner's lips is, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've broken your commandments. That's what he wants to hear. And then he wants to hear, Lord, thank you for your son who died on the cross for my sins. See, you can say Christ died, that's history. You can say Christ died for sins, that's theology. Or you can say Christ died for my sins, and that's what? Salvation. It's not till you say, Lord, save me from my sins. So do we have hope as people? Absolutely. We have hope. Go quickly, tell his disciples, verse 7, Matthew 28, he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. And there you'll see him. Behold, I have told you. Now, this is Easter morning. If you know God and you've been saved from your sins and you know you're going to heaven when you die, just slip your hand up real quick. Just raise your hand to say, as a testimony, say, God, I know you. I'm saved from my sins. All right, put your hands down. If you're here this morning and you couldn't raise your hand as a testimony of God, or you were one of these people that you weren't sure, you know, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, I don't know. You can settle it today. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of what? Salvation. This is the day. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. And so, if a person wanted to get saved on Easter morning, would that be a great time to get saved? It would be a great time. God's not willing that any should perish or go to hell, but all should come to what? Repentance. Let's bow our heads here. In the quietness of this moment, I want to lead in a sinner's prayer. And if you're a saint of God who knows God, pray in your heart with me that if there's one person here that's not sure of their salvation, that they would make this the day they settle it once and for all. Lord, as I lift up my voice to you in prayer here, I pray that people, if they don't know you, would do what they would be thankful that they have done in eternity, that they would seal their salvation once and for all and settle this matter. And Lord, I know that Satan goes about as a roaring lion, trying to devour men, to bring them into the kingdom of darkness, of hell, and the lake of fire. But Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would bring conviction and enlightenment and draw men and women, boys and girls, to yourself here at this moment. And I want to pray a prayer. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved and you want to be saved, just pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. But Lord, forgive me of my sins. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again for me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me from my sins. I'm trusting you to take me to heaven. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Everybody look at me just a minute. Did anybody pray that prayer this morning in your heart? Just as a testimony of God, anybody pray that prayer here this morning? Anybody? Okay. I don't see any hands. But if you aren't sure you're saved, the Bible says what? Today is the day of what? Salvation. Settle that. I beg you, settle it today. Because you never know what tomorrow will hold. You never, never know. And there's no greater thing than having peace with God through Jesus Christ. This is your day to get saved on an Easter morning. And as a saints of God, if you know somebody that's unsaved, be praying for them. And be begging them to come to Christ. Because the days are short. Is Jesus coming soon?
Yes.
Is he coming soon?
Yes.
Very soon. And everybody that's left behind, woe be to you that goes through the tribulation period. That's all I can say is woe be to you. You never want to be here to go through that. And the saints of God will be taken, what, out of this world to be with God forever. That's our hope. Do we have hope as believers?
Yes.
We have a sure hope. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, as we bring this in for a landing here, Lord, I pray the saints of God would take earnestly, as the scripture says, go into all the world and share the gospel with everybody. And I pray that we would do that. I pray that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Lord, help us be praying for people to come to Christ and help us to be sharing the gospel through our lives. And Father, time is urgent and souls standing on the edge of eternity. So Lord, help us toward this end to do what we should do as the saints of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless this assembly, and may the power of the Holy Spirit rest upon each of us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.